From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. You're very welcome to our Bible study. The psalmist said, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May the light of God's word shine upon us today as we turn to the scriptures. We will be looking at John chapter 19 and the verses 28 to 37 in just a moment. The subject is Prophecy Fulfilled at Calvary. Let me just mention our program at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We will be considering the final part of our study of the subject, the dreadfulness of hell. Do join me for that final study. Next week, as our habit is at this time of the year, we will be looking at the birth of Christ. Our topic in both the 10 o'clock and the 3 o'clock program will be, Is there a right way to celebrate Christmas? We'll also be giving you some facts about the birth of Christ, which you may not be familiar with. So plan to join us at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon next Monday. We're going to listen to a hymn now before we turn to John 19, the verses 27 to 38. It's the lovely hymn, At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Our subject today I have entitled Prophecy Fulfilled at Calvary. We're looking at John 19, the verses 28 to 37. At the very beginning of his ministry, the Saviour said, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Fulfilling the word of God is what Christ did. In his birth, his life, by his words and works, and above all, by his death and resurrection. As we look at these verses in John chapter 19, I want you first of all to notice that Christ's death was according to the Scriptures. Paul taught the church at Corinth that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 3. In the verses before us, three references are made to prophecies fulfilled by the Saviour in his death. Listen as I read the prophecies. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Psalm 69, verse 21. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. This verse contains a command regarding the eating of the Passover lamb. Here's another verse, this time from Psalm 22, verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. One more, Zechariah chapter 12 and the verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. A close study of God's word will reveal that very many other prophecies were fulfilled at Calvary, but reference is made in these verses in John chapter 19 to only three specifically. Three is enough to underline for us the fact that Christ's death was foreordained and predetermined by God for the redemption of his people. Hundreds of years before the actual crucifixion of Christ on dark Golgotha, these details were given by the prophets. Chance or coincidence cannot explain such a fulfilling of details given centuries before. Only the acknowledgement of the divine inspiration of the Bible adequately explains this matter. The man who thinks it is mere chance that prophecies regarding the dividing of Christ's garments, his thirst, his pierced hands and feet and side, his unbroken bones, brought about the fulfilling of these prophecies at Calvary, is a very foolish man indeed. The second main point I want you to notice is that the final words of Christ are solemn and glorious. When Christ therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Verse 30. The Saviour uttered seven statements while he was on the cross. This is his final statement. The Greek word for finished is teleo. The same word appears in Luke chapter 2 in the verse 39. That verse reads, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." That's a reference to Mary and Joseph having brought up the infant to the temple, now returning home again, having obeyed the command of God regarding what parents should do at the birth of a child. The word teleo in this verse is translated by the English word performed. So on the cross, the Saviour was saying, "I have performed all that the Father required me to do in order to redeem my people." That is borne out by what we read in Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 11 to 12. "And every priest," that is the Old Testament priest, "standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Christ's death on the cross successfully finished the work of redemption. That is why we say that there remains no more work for the sinner to do. Christ has done it all. We have but to rest upon that finished work in order to be saved. Noah built the ark, and into that finished ship his family entered and were saved. There is nothing to be added to what Christ has finished. Indeed, it would be a sin, an insult, to even attempt to add to his finished work, would it not? Thirdly and finally, note that Christ truly died. It may surprise some to hear that there are theologians who would have us believe that Christ never truly died, and therefore never truly rose from the dead. He merely fainted from his sufferings, and the cool atmosphere of his rocky tomb revived him again. That is what some foolishly believe happened. But note that his death was attested by those who would have been delighted in hastening his death had he not been already dead when they examined him while still nailed to the cross. Listen to verses 31 to 34. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Roman soldiers were well acquainted with death, and could expertly tell whether a man was dead or not. Had they been in the least doubtful, they would have broken Christ's legs in order to hasten his death, by thus forcing the full weight of his body to hang upon his hands, and thus have the effect of compressing his chest, his heart, and his lungs, and thereby hastening his death. But they considered him dead, so they did not feel it necessary to break his legs. One soldier, however, could not pass up the opportunity of stabbing him to the heart with his spear. The Saviour truly died. His heart ceased to beat. His death was real, and therefore the atonement he made by dying was real. We are told that forthwith came there out blood and water. This is the fountain in which sinners are cleansed from their sins. It is said of those in heaven, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Our works cannot wash away our sins. The sacraments cannot wash away our sins. Church membership or church going cannot wash away our sins. Only the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. May you believe God's word today and come to Christ for cleansing from sin. Please remember our program today at 3 o'clock. Join with me then, once more, around God's word. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.